Sitar's World of Gaelic Games.
Hello and welcome to the TC Tires World of Gaelic Games on Monday the 4th of March, our first show in March. Thanks for your time for an excellent edition of Kilkenny Today. And Kilkenny Today show runs between thanks to Robbie Williams for an excellent edition. And Kilkenny Today show runs between 5 and 6 all the way through to Monday to Friday. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll be looking back at St Kieran's victory over Ardscull Reach. We'll be talking Kilkenny versus Clare with Eamon Butler, Nicky Brennan and Pat Tracy. We'll also be talking to Dixborough's Dan O'Neill on the 8 All-Stars that the club received at the weekend. And I'll be talking to Shane Welsh, the marketing editor for TG4, just on the relationship that has been growing over the last couple of weeks between TG Carter and Handball. So we'll look forward to talking to Shane on that as well. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. Text us in on our taxback.com line on 086 353 7782, and that's a Clune Tech company, or you can phone us in on 056 77 62 777, or you can message us on WhatsApp on 087 4011 887. As always, I'm joined in the studio by Nicky Brennan, Pat Tracy, and we have Eamon Butler on the phone. Good evening, lads.
Hello, Kieran.
We'll talk first, Nicky, just on St Kieran's the weekend. Great win over Ardscull Reach, and I know we spoke about it yesterday as well, but an excellent performance from St Kieran's from start to finish.
Yeah, they were very strong. I was impressed by them. I thought there'd be a bit more of a bite in the Ardscull Reach team, but Kieran's really took a grip on the game. Ardscull Reach played with a spare defender, but the Kieran's lads were moving the ball very well out of defence, and off the shoulder passing was excellent, controlled the ball very well, and then when they were prepared to hit a long ball, it was well hit diagonally into the two inside players. They only had two of the full forward line, Sean Hunt and Rory Glynn, and they really caused havoc inside, and because the spare man outside could do nothing because the ball was getting in behind him. So they caused a lot of trouble now early on, and they one of them, I think, cornerbacks got booked as well, so that put him in a sticky position. So Kieran's got a good grip in the game in the first half, and while it was never won at half time, they were in a very strong position. Ardscull Reach did make a bit of a burst in the second half, but they never really took into the Kieran's lead at all. They lift down a point or two here, all right, but they narrowed it, but were never able. Kieran's moved up the field, and you know, you had great points there from Tom McPhillan, Stephen Minogue, points at 65, and that players were generally on top. And to be honest about it, they could have won by a few more scores. A couple of times Kieran's went for goals when really they weren't on, and just could have popped them over the bar and just kept the scoreboard ticking over. So look, they were a better team. I was surprised. Now, I thought that Ardscull Reach, with a fair few Tipper or Clare Miners on board, I expected more out of them. And but there's a lot of these Kieran lads up to the age, up to the 19, and you know, they're young men now. And the other thing is that 7 or 8 of those lads have played senior club hurling in Kilkenny, or played with their club's first team at intermediate as well. That's a big advantage now. It's a long time since I remember a college's team from Kilkenny, not alone Kieran's, having that many players playing senior club hurling, and that's standing to them in the battle they've been having.
Yeah, definitely, Pat. And Loughrea, St. Raphael's from Loughrea now in the final.
Yeah, and you know, they're always fairly decent, and Francis Ford is coaching them, and he's very highly rated across the way on that. And you know, Nina CBS, everyone was fancying them, and even after the Munster final and the quarter final against Kilkenny CBS, there were, you know, a lot of people talking about them, and that the strength of their bench and the whole lot. But the St. Raphael's watched that game and came out and came from 5 or 6 points down, having played into the wind and won it in the end. So, you know, it's a great win for them. But look, you're heading to Croke Park. Kieran's are the All-Ireland champions, defending champions, and that, you know, and they came through a strong test, you know, on Saturday, because, you know, they weren't great against the combined Offaly colleges. You know, Kilkenny CBS just didn't turn up on the day in the Leinster final, so they weren't sure where they were, but the game on Saturday now should bring them on a lot.
Yeah.
But there was a period now. I didn't see the first half, but I saw the second half. But like, I was keeping a mental account of it, and you know, the the Ard Scullerish got a couple of pints, and Kieran's got a couple of pints, and then Kieran's they shot four wides in a row, and then the others came back to within, what was the, 4 pints. Kieran's got a pint, then they hit 2 more wides in a row. They had a chance of a goal, definitely 2 chances of goals, one of them in particular, and they weren't finished. So you know, Brian Dowland will be looking at that, and we'll be looking for him to be a bit more clinical. That third quarter, I just thought they kind of left Ard Scullerish in it, and I think it was Borough man wing back that kind of lifted the siege and steadied them. It was a great point.
Tom McPhillips,
yeah. I was impressed with him. He was very busy and very energetic, and he ploughed up the field with that, you know, and scored a point when it was needed, because another point or two for Ard Scullerish, and they were, you know, they'd be gaining more momentum, but I thought that killed them.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you, Pat. I was watching it there with my father, and we were both saying, you know, the Kieran's needed the next score, and it was. Yeah. It was an inspirational score. And, Nicky, I was talking to Pat about it just the evening as well, but I just thought the work rate of the St. Kieran's players was unbelievable. Like.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's quite right, Kieran. And that's why at the time in the second half, when we expected Ard Scullerish to come out all guns blazing at the start of the second half, they needed to, really, because they were trailing by 111 to 7 points, which is double scores at half time. So they would have needed to put on a bit of a sport. Now, they did do that in the second half, in fairness, started off with a Mark O'Brien free, but they were getting a fair few double scores from frees as well, and they weren't really making the sort of headway that they needed. Now, yes, Stephen Minogue did make one very good save from a flicked ball, all right, but I always felt Kieran's could bring the ball up the field and grab the scores when they needed. Now, Kieran's hit 13 wides in the match as well, so that should be borne in mind also, apart from the couple of chances that I felt it should have just popped over the bar rather than going for goals. So there was, you know, there's plenty for Brian Dowland to look at here in relation to being a bit more clinical in front of goal. Just, you don't have to go for goals every time. Pop it over a bar, keep the scoreboard ticking over, and the chances maybe will come then for the goals much easier.
Yeah, Nicky, you were there as well. The pitch was quite heavy, was it?
Well, the field, in fairness, was in good shape now overall, Kieran. But the problem is, it's principally the bench and club there, the Galty Rovers, would principally be a football club, and they play junior hurling. But the field was in decent condition, but there was obviously little potholes in it, and they were having problems, both teams, with the jab lift.
Yeah,
and that was the difficulty. But in the circumstances, they had a colleges game on it the day before as well. So to be fair, it was busy. From that perspective. So it was fine, and I mean they had it well laid out, so they had a stand there, everything. That was very good now, Kieran, I have to say. You'd like to get better ground conditions, but the reality of it is it's a real struggle. I mean, we had the Camogie yesterday, had to go from the minor Camogie, from the tip Camogie grounds to Kilcommon, because the Cripperary Camogie grounds is just not playable. The Torres Simple Stadium is not playable at the moment. They have to travel to Parky Keefe to play Cork next Saturday. There's some grounds are really struggling at the moment with the way the weather has impacted them, and they're getting a lot of game time, and they're just not able to handle it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thanks to Pat and Nicky for that summary of St. Kieran's College. Eamon Butler, good evening. How are you? Eamon, you're on the road there, so we won't delay you too long, but Kilkenny travelling to face Clare on Sunday in Ennis. What are your thoughts on that game?
You'd be looking forward to it, Kieran. You know, a tough place to go, but you'd be hoping with the next two games with Clare and Waterford that at least Kilkenny could pick up one win out of the two. If not, go, obviously they'd be aiming for the two wins, but you know, if you could get under 2 points out of those two games, and obviously aim for the four, but to be great, you know. But Ennis is a notoriously hard place to go for Kilkenny in recent times in leagues and that, so it should be a good game and a tough battle. You know, Clare are kind of tipping along there as well, and you know, it's a very tight group so far in the league, and like we say every week, with the way that it's going to be set up next year, you know, to finish in the top three is a must, just for whether it be county border seats or Gates and the standard of hurling and all the rest of those wishes. So, you know, at least there's something to say for as well in the next two games, and look, we are top of the table going into those round of games, which is great. So you'd be hoping to be sitting there maybe at the end of the weekend.
Definitely, Eamon, and I suppose, like you said, Ennis is a tough place to go. It has been tough all over the years, and even in the Munster Championship and that there, you see teams struggling down there. But look, it could be time for Kilkenny team, you know, it's a young enough team, chance for this team to lay down a marker down there.
Definitely, Kieran, you know, and I suppose, like, as well, with the last game, with the first half, the way it went against Offaly, like, you know, you'd be hoping now that the players in the take the field on Sunday that they'll be able to hit the ground running in the first half and really lay down a marker, because with Clare the way they play and it, with the home support they'll have there in Ennis, if you kind of give them a bit of momentum, like the crowd gets behind them and it can be very hard to catch them. You know, a couple of years ago I remember we were up there in Ennis and so like that we gave them a bit of a head start, but we got it back close. I think it ended up with only a point or two in it at the end of the game, but you know, it was a really entertaining game. But the leg of that Clare, they're similar to Cork in the way if they get going with momentum, and you know they're a very dangerous team in Munster and all the rest. And you know, the big thing for Clare later this year will be if they get to Croke Park, how will they perform? That's the question on Clare's team. But you know, they're bringing through a few young lads and they have a few injuries as well, of course. And you know, they're beginning to, I suppose, Brian Lowen is using the league there this year better, I suppose, than other years, in terms of that he's giving lads rest. And you know, he's blooding a few lads. I think they have a new chap in the goal there from Clare Castle. He's there in the panel a couple of years, and this is first, he played last weekend there, you know, and lads like that. So it's good to see them getting a run of game time as well, and sort of like to see Peter Duggan then as well, and those boys, you know, so we all know what they can do, and they're very good players under there.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Eamon, and like you said, it's a big year for Clare, to know, to see if they can maybe get their hands on a bit of silverware this year, and then see where it takes them. But it's not going to be easy in Munster, and there's a couple of other big games the weekend as well. You know, you have Waterford and Wexford down in Welsh Park as well, 3:30 on Sunday. I know, Eamon, you do keep an eye on Waterford closely. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think Kentucky are on as well. It'll be a tight game. You know, I suppose, look, Wexford are still going for their first win in the league, even though they're unbeaten. You know, they have three draws, which is a great stat in itself. And Waterford, like, you know, they came up short against Cork the last day, albeit there wasn't much in it. But you know, I still wouldn't rule out you know, Waterford having a go at Kilkenny down in Welsh Park in the following week, say the 16th of March, I think they're down for on the Saturday. You know, so look at Waterford, they're not going to be they're not going to roll over anyway, that's for sure, you know what I mean, and they're definitely going to give it their all. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes the weekend, which, you know, for Davy Fitz was over at Wexford for a long time too, and they're beginning to blood a few people. But the one problem I see with Wexford at the moment is they've no free taker here on. I think they had five or six guys on the frees there last weekend again, and it's gone on a number of years now where they're lacking someone on the frees. Paul Morris was the main man for years down there on the frees, and since he's gone, they're kind of chopping and changing. And only Chilman got injured the last day he was on the frees. Then Seamus Casey ended up on the frees. They've got Mark Fanning out of the goal for a couple of frees. And at intercounty level, you need a player to score 9 out of 10 frees every day. You know what I mean?
And Rory O'Connor, I suppose, as well. Eamon is out injured at the moment, so, you know, he can take frees as well, but he can be quite inconsistent as well. So, like you said, look at, especially inter-county level, even see the club level now, how important a free taker is, and you're dead right to really need to find one heading in. Look, the last couple of games in the league,
he's a great player, you know what I mean? Fantastic. And at the moment, you know, he is a big loss for them. And saw it a couple of years ago when he's playing there. He's one of those marquee forwards that Wexford have, and sure, look, they'll lead everyone back for the championship, and that's for sure, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thanks for joining us, Eamon. You're just dropping a small bit on us there, but look, we'll touch base with you next Monday night again, just to get your opinion on the Kilkenny versus Clare and all the other matches that took place over the weekend. Thanks for that, Eamon.
That's all right. Thanks, John. See you later. Bye-bye.
And that was Eamon Butler there, out and about on his travels. And
that College's All-Ireland Finn Kiernan's and St. Faith's Loughrea is at 1 o'clock on Saturday the 16th of March. I mean, I actually, I know Pat did as well, we all thought it was the 17th of March, but it's actually the 16th.
Yeah, and Jim Rowan sent in a text. He said it's going to be a busy day on Saturday the week with Kilkenny versus Waterford and the College final on at the same time in Croke Park. But
the College is at 1 and the Kilkenny match is at 3.
3, so... You'll have to check your pick, Jim, one or the other.
You won't get to the two, man. Yeah?
No, that's for sure. We have a good few texts in. We'll try to get through them. We have a text in here just wondering why Kieran's dominance doesn't translate into Kilkenny underage success.
Yeah, I think that's
fair point.
That's not the first time it's been asked. It's a fair point, yeah. Yeah.
It's an ongoing discussion with ourselves and our WhatsApp group.
But bear in mind, I mean, when Kieran's won the Leinster final there recently, it was the first time in 4 years they had won it. They'd won the All-Ireland All Right as well, one of the years when they... So, look, it's a valid point, and I suppose it's something that we're struggling to come up with an answer to. But, I mean, we badly need to be winning at minor and under 20. We won under 20 recently, but there was a few factors there that did us no harm when we were winning that 20 2 years ago. We do need to go back. I think the 20s this year are not going to be too bad now. I think they'll give it a fair rattle. And given that the final is in Nolan Park, there's a fair possibility Kilkenny could be there this year, I think. And the minors, Sodom and Cork, a bit disappointing, but they'd be young lads anyway. They'd be under 17.
Yeah, they'd improve.
And they would be still in two more years in colleges to play. So, yeah, it's a challenge for us to see that Kieran's are winning. But the problem really is that Kieran's could put out a second team that would probably damn near beat a lot of the other teams that are playing in Leinster at the moment as well. And therein lies a bit of a dilemma.
Yeah, but I suppose the other point is that over the last 10, even a little bit longer now, a dozen years or more, that Kilkenny, that St. Kieran's and Kilkenny CBS and even Good Counsel, they've all been to the fore, winning Leinster and winning All-Irelands, and yet, you know, that age group over that 10 or 12 years to be 20, the oldest to be maybe around the 30 mark now, you know, where did all those players go? You'd be wondering, and maybe didn't come a lot didn't come through. So that it's a question worth asking. But you know, on St. Kieran's being so dominant, I was talking to a couple of girls, then they play Camogie and that with their clubs, but they don't play, say, with the Loretto because they're just not good enough. You need to be a county player to have a chance. Getting on a Loretto team.
Well, that's the point I was making.
And
about
that's
Kieran's,
the point about Kieran's as well.
Kieran's the second team. Yeah. Kieran's second team would probably be able to beat most of the other schools in Leinster at hurling at the moment. And it's what's an awful pity, and I know this is not a criticism, this is that there are probably lads inside in Kieran's, if they were in Comer or Callan, just to mention two schools, leave aside the CBS in the town,
yeah,
they'd probably strengthen those schools very significantly and make them much more competitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just...
But it's an attraction. The education is one thing, and that's number one, important. But, you know, families and kids and their parents feel that it may be a chance to up their hurling prowess in a college like Kieran's, and there's no criticism anyone for doing that. I mean, when I was there were lads coming to... We were in the Borders era. I mean, we had lads coming as boarders when there were boarders in there because that's what they did. We know in Kelly at Tipperary opted to come in there and be a boarder.
Yeah, but even...
He might not be the boarder now, but he was in there anyway.
Yeah,
he was, yeah. But even that time, in our time, you know, the vocational schools were across the county were strong.
Yeah, they were.
You know, and a county vocational schools team. There was a number of Pats, and there was no more player, they were playing at, you know, a fairly decent level.
Yeah, when we won the Cons All-Ireland in 71, we had a lad from Limerick, I think he scored 4 goals in the final. And not he ever heard, I can't remember him ever hurling after us for Limerick, ironically.
Yeah, good way to go out.
And
time to retire.
Yeah, maybe he thought that was as high as he could go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, and I suppose, yeah. Pat, it's the same with the clubs as well, you know, people have been going on about the strength and number of the city clubs, and is there room for a fourth club, but I'd like to see who'd join this fourth club, because at the end of the day, you know, it's parents' decision, and they want their child or daughter on a successful winning team, and, you know, getting their medals and all that, so... You know, there is a discussion on that too, about development and all that. Like, if you're sitting on the bench and you're not getting game time and all that, but look, even see the Borough last year to put in a split team into the league and it did them no harm. You know, everyone got game time and all that. So, look, it is an interesting point for discussion. It's probably the same with the schools.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
You know, it's chasing the success. And, Nicky, the Kilkenny Clare game is live on TG Cahir on Sunday.
That's correct,
half one, Kieran.
The other one that's on, just got the note there now, there's another one on then.
Yeah,
Watford,
Watford and Wexford.
And the fair coverage then as well. That's going to be the fair coverage, exactly, yeah. So, look, it'll be, Kilkenny never get easy down in Ennis, and it'll be no different next Sunday as well. It should be a cracking game. Looking forward to it now, I must say.
Yeah, no, definitely. And Pat, a big one then. We'll talk about it later as well, but Limerick and Tipperary then Saturday evening on RTE.
Yeah, I think the fact that that's going down to Cork has taken a bit out of it. You know, I mean, it's an awful journey for the supporters, both Limerick and Cork. And I suppose Limerick wasn't available either, was it?
Limerick is not ready yet. Limerick have a problem with their field as well. Yeah, I think the following week when Limerick play their next match, they're going to have to travel to the other ground.
Yeah, so
there's work being done on the field.
you know, that'll be a great game to see, and see where they're at. Plus the Kilkenny and Clare game, I'm going to be very interested to see the teams that are put out for those games, because the last two games of the league, I think, are the ones. You know,
game between Tipperary and Limerick in Super Valley Park, it was actually starting at 25-8.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be a long old trip. I mean, I know from the night we were down there as well, just on a home till near the following morning, you know, and Park Cave is slow to get out of it now. That's the price you pay if you get in and park near the place, to be fair. I have to put that caveat in, but it's looking at these games now, they're all timed for television, Kieran.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not a shuttle boat service, no.
Not anymore. They just be there one time.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, it'll be the right one, all right. Right, join us after the break where we'll be talking to Dixborough's Dan O'Neill.
TC Tyres, World of Gaelic Games. TC Tyres, World of Gaelic Games.
And welcome back, just after 6:30. We're delighted to be joined on the line by Dan O'Neill. Good evening, Dan.
How are you, Kieran?
Not too bad. Dan, a brilliant evening and occasion for Dixborough girls and everyone involved on Saturday evening in Croagh Park.
Yeah, we were up at the AIB Club Player of the Year Awards. So, yeah, it was very well run, very enjoyable evening.
Yeah, and Dan...
And great, you know, great that club players are being rewarded and recognised. Anything that promotes the game, you know, you have to appreciate that AIB are, you know, they're doing their part to promote the club game, which is great.
Yeah, no, definitely, and I suppose Dan, for Dixborough as well, obviously the All-Ireland champions, Leinster champions, County champions, the girls won everything in front of them and received 8 All-Stars on the night, and you could probably say there'd be a good few girls disappointed as well that they didn't win them, but 8 was a great number to get, and a reflection of just what a year the girls had.
Yeah, it was really, and as you said, they're probably, the girls, some may be disappointed. You could make the argument for any of the 15 girls that started that they'd be worthy of an award like what the 8 got. But the nature of these things, you know, 8, I suppose, is as much as you can expect. But it does reflect the great year that we had.
Yeah, and on the night then as well, Dan, obviously it was in Croagh Park, but it was brilliant as well then for Aoife Prendergast to be named Player of the Year, and then Dixborough as well, you know, Team of the Year. So coming away with brilliant accolades for everyone.
Yeah, I suppose it was no big surprise that Aoife won the individual award for Player of the Year, because she was just so good on frees and that, and you'd have to say that we wouldn't have won without her. You could say that about plenty of the players, but I just think that she was so outstanding on the frees in the final that, you know, if she was a small bit off, it could have been enough for the result to go the other way. But I mean, as you know yourself, she didn't miss a free and didn't get any easy frees. There was no tap over frees from, say, the 21 in front of the goal. They were all frees that could have been missed, but she scored every one of them, which was outstanding, really.
Yeah, and especially then on a huge day like that, you know, the club's first senior club All-Ireland, and to have the experience of Aoife then, you know, grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck and, you know, really laying down the marker early on, you know, a brilliant individual score as well. You know, that's what, when you want your leaders to step up, and Aoife duly obliged on that big day in Croagh Park.
She did, yeah. All we were afraid of, you know, coming up to the match, was that the girls wouldn't do themselves justice. But when you have someone like Aoife, you know, scoring frees to settle them from early in the game, you know, that helped so much that it gave the rest of them the confidence, you know, to know that they were in the game and capable of winning it. You know, from an early stage, they were always there, thereabouts.
Yeah, and then I suppose as well, you know, it was no surprise as well to see the Dixborough defence rewarded as well with so many All-Stars. You know, that was, they gave away very little scores this year, and it allowed then, you know, take a bit of pressure off the forwards as well, that they could just go out and hurl, and if they kept the scoreboard ticking over, there was always a chance they were going to win the games.
Yeah, I mean, with Kirsty in goal and Jane and Casey and Ciara Phelan, you know, making the team in the backs, and the other three backs were brilliant all year as well. Yeah, it was really the foundation on which the All Ireland was laid. Really, was our defence. You know, they were really good all year. You know, and as I said earlier, the three girls, Tara Clifford, Niamh Phelan, and Caoimhe Dowlan, you know, they all had great years as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I suppose as well, Dan, what makes it even special, more special for the girls as well, you know, we spoke to a good few of the girls after all the victories and that, but, you know, to come back from last year's defeat and then to go on and to win everything in front of them, and, you know, they were just an outstanding team to follow and watch all year. Like, it really makes it special. And then to be, you know, the highlight of the club career, club year, then, you know, with the All-Star Awards and all that, just to come away with it just shows what a fantastic year it was and what a fantastic group of girls these are.
Yeah, they are a great... I think they really learnt a lesson from 2022 when we were beaten in the county final, that you can't take anything for granted. I'm not saying we were taking anything for granted, but we probably were a small bit complacent in 2022. We had gotten to the final and been very impressive up to the final and just didn't perform on the day. Thomastown were the better team on the day. But I think without that experience, I'm not so sure we would have had the year we had in 2023. You know, that really stood to us. And the girls themselves would have referenced the county final loss in 2022 several times during the year. You know, it just made sure that no one was going to take anything for granted.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you could see that as well. You know, they just kept driving on and on, and even from positions when they were behind, you know, they just kept the shoulder to wheel and kept believing in themselves and the panel and yourselves as management as well. So it was just great. Dan, for this year then, you know, it's going to be hard to, it's early, I know it's only in March, but obviously competition will be stiff in Kilkenny again, and I suppose the main aim will be try to go back and retain the title.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet. Dixborough have won three senior Camogie County Finals, but we haven't won two in a row. So it just shows you winning two in a row is not easy. We couldn't do it in 2020. We couldn't do it in 2022. We'll be aiming to try and do it in 2024, but we're under no illusions. It's going to be really tough. You know, you can't take any senior Camogie team in Kilkenny for granted. We're going to have a massive target on our back, you know, so it's going to be really tough. But that would look, everyone sets out to win the county final and we're no different. But we realise how tough it's going to be.
Yeah, no, definitely. And just before I let you go, Dan, just the Dixborough club itself, you know, there's huge work being done underage with the girls through all the age groups, you know, and without volunteers and coaches and all that, none of the success would be where it is. So, like, there's huge work being done behind the scenes.
Yeah, especially the younger age groups now are getting really big numbers out. When you have big numbers, you need plenty of help. So thank God there's plenty of people willing to help out, you know, and long may it continue.
No, definitely. Dan, thanks a million for taking the time out this evening. We greatly appreciate it, and congratulations to all the girls that won the Oscars, and hard luck to the other girls, but look, they can be proud of the brilliant performance they gave and their victories during the year. So we greatly appreciate it, Dan, and congratulations to everyone at Dixborough GAA Club.
Thanks, Ciarán. Could I just say, Ciarán, before I leave you, Hilda Breslin, the president of the Camogie Association, spoke at the awards night in Croke Park. She spoke really well. But what she was really pushing was to try and increase in attendance at Camogie matches. And she was just making the point that the profile of Camogie in the media has come up a lot, and that there's a lot of attention being given now to the players, and you have these award nights, but it's not been reflected in attendances. You know, I was at the Kilkenny Cork match in Nolan Park there a few weeks ago, and I was at the Kilkenny Offaly match, senior Camogie matches. There was really small crowds at the two of them, and I was really surprised, especially the Kilkenny Cork match. You know, Cork are All-Ireland champions. I think if Limerick were coming to play Kilkenny in the Hurling League you'd probably have the best part of 10,000 people at it. So her point was, we need to increase attendances. You know, that was a real, Kilkenny Cork match was a real high standard. You're probably looking at arguably two best teams in the country, and yet there was a really small crowd at it. So she just asked us to spread the word, and that's basically what I'm doing now. You know, we need to get bigger crowds at these matches because they are very entertaining and very enjoyable.
Yeah, no, definitely, Dan, and I'd agree totally with you. And at times, the hurling is so honest and all. They're brilliant games to watch. And it's a new management team there with Kilkenny as well, so it'll be brilliant. You know, get the crowd in behind them and support the girls and try get the support that they need. And in all games,
yeah.
And,
yeah, I think so. I think if people just gave it a chance and went to see them, they might be surprised how entertaining it is. You know, and you're looking at the best players in the country. You know, when you have the like of Cork coming to Kilkenny, so I'd encourage anyone to go see Camogie matches. Very entertaining.
No, most definitely. Dan, thanks a million for joining us this evening, and thanks for sharing that message with us. And Community Radio are huge supporters of Camogie in Kilkenny, and have been all through the year as well. So we'll be spreading
absolutely,
that message
yeah.
as well. So thanks a million, Dan, and best of luck with everything for the rest of the year.
Thanks very much, Ciarán.
Thanks, Dan. And that was Dan O'Neill joining us, part of the Dixborough management team, and a brilliant night for the club up in Croke Park with the award of 8 All-Stars. And Nicky, just in other Camogie news then, before we go on, we'd just like to pass on our condolences to Aoife Flanagan, our Camogie correspondent here, just on the death of her uncle.
Uncle Sean, and, yeah, I knew Sean very well. On Saturday, Kilkenny went down to Ennis to take on Clare and Father Macler Park in the Division 2B. Now, Aoife is involved with that team and backup capacity. But a low-scoring first half, Kilkenny with the wind. In fact, at 13 minutes, it was 2 points apiece. And the next score didn't arrive until the 24th minute. Luckily for Kilkenny, it was a goal from Caroline Kennedy. At half-time, it was 1-2 to 3 points, and Kilkenny had to face the breeze in the second half. But they did get stuck in, good defensive play, saw them hold out in the end for a 3-point victory, 1-8 to 8 points. Clare Donnie got a late point. Rachel Dowland from play and freeze was adding over a few points. Aoife Cantwell as well. And look, they got through it, and it was their first win, so they'll be delighted with that. Yesterday I was up in John Tracy Park in Kilcommon for the All-Ireland Minor A Championship first round with Kilkenny and Tipperary, and they would have seen 11 players had contested the recent college's A final between Loretta and Ursulines taking part in that game yesterday. And Tipperary were the stronger team. Kilkenny did okay in the first half, and they actually led at half time 1-5 to 1-4. They got an early goal from Tara Roach from St. Martin's. She got an early goal for them. Just to check now that I have all my names right here on the slip of paper. Yeah, Tara Roach, St. Martin's. Tipperary came back then with their corner forward. Hannah Butler from Cashel Carmarks bagged the goal on 24 minutes. That brought them back into it. Tip got a bit of got on top of that stage. But Kilkenny came back well with the scores from Katie Brennan and Kira O'Shea to lead 1-5 to 1-4 at half time. But Tip really bossed the second half. They got a goal at the very start of the second half from their central half forward, Daniel Ryan. And Kilkenny a little bit against the run of play. They had a bit of possession, but they were generally being out-hurled. But sub Julie Lennon from Gordon got a goal on 19 minutes to put it back to a point. And Kilkenny looked to be in a good position then. But then Cuiva Snakelham, who was one of the strong players of the Tipperary team, she raced onto a ball that broke, and she controlled it brilliantly first time, raced in and put it into the back of the net. The Kilkenny goalie, Rachel Maloney, had no chance at all. There was no way back for Kilkenny at that stage. 3-10 to 2-7 it finished. And on this weekend now, there's three games played. Kilkenny Division 1 take on Galway in Galway on Saturday. We don't have a venue for that yet. It's a 2 o'clock throw in. Kilkenny play Tipperary in Division 2B. That's in UPMC Nolan Park at 2 o'clock. And on Sunday, and I don't have a time for it yet, Kilkenny will play Antrim, probably somewhere at Dublin venue, I'd imagine, in the second round of that Minor A Championship.
Brilliant. Thanks for that, Nicky. And we'll take our second break. Join us after where we'll be talking to TG Catter's Shane Welch.
TC Tyres, World of Gaelic Games. TC Tyres, World of Gaelic Games.
And welcome back. Now we're delighted to be joined on the line by marketing editor for TG Catter, Shane Welch. Good evening, Shane.
How are you, Ciarán? How are things?
Not too bad.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, Shane. I suppose, look, I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago there, Shane, and I suppose it was just coincided with the news that TG Cahir were going to form a partnership there with the handball and cover all the handball events over the course of the year, and a brilliant opportunity for handball.
Yeah, so, you're dead right, Ciarán. So at the end of last year, David Britton from GAA Handball approached us. He got in contact with Ronan O'Coshla, who kind of designed the sports program for TG Cahir, and he got on a few meetings with myself and Ronan, and we just looked into how we could help out handball and how we could build a profile of the sport as well. So David, he had the idea that GAA Handball were doing a great job already with their own streaming platform and kind of getting all the events out to the public. But because it's the 100th year anniversary of GAA Handball now this year, he was saying, like, how are we going to push that to a bigger audience without making a huge monetary investment in the thing as well? So he's given us control of all their streams for the year. So we have 14, we'll have 14 events throughout the year going out live on YouTube. That's including the World Championships that we'll have in August and October. It included, we had the She's Ace, the women's finals there to start off in February. And then we have the senior doubles and the minor doubles and the master doubles as well this weekend. So there's 14 events throughout the year. We're also showing highlights live on TG Cahir itself every Monday night after any of those events. So tonight, if you tune in at 8 o'clock, you'll see your GAA, your hurling football, ladies football. But at the end of the program as well, we'll have a bit of handball action, including some Kilkenny natives. So we had the two functions there. They were narrowly beaten in the senior men's doubles there last weekend. But you can see highlights of that game, which went to a tiebreaker. So you have that too. And then finally, for the World Championships in August and October, we'll be doing a bit of special programming based around those two competitions at the time. It's kind of yet to be decided what format that'll have, but it's increasing the coverage of handball, and it's brilliant for TG Cahir as well, because our viewers, a lot of our following are the GAA, and they'll watch handball as well if they're given the platform to view it. And out of the four streams we've had so far online, we've had, I think, roughly 20,000 people have tuned into those streams, which is, it's great figures for us, but it's also good for handball. And we're trying to get the story out there on social media as well, and to local media like yourselves. We just put a clip out there of Colin Crehan from Clare. He had a special trot through the legs to kill the ball on the front wall there last weekend. So we're just trying to get the word out there, but that's the deal anyway, with between the streams and the highlights on a Monday night, and then two programs, kind of highlights programs again, featuring the World Championships later in the year.
Yeah, and like you said, Shane, as a handballer myself, it's huge for the game, and to have the likes of TG Cahir coming in behind it is just unbelievable. And like we can even see it ourselves, just the promotion that it has given it, you know. And it's great that, says, people might be familiar with the streams on, say, the GAA handball pages and stuff, and then for TG Cahir to now be showing it, you know, it'll open up people's eyes to the sport that mightn't be accustomed to the sport, which is great.
That's it, exactly. Like even just for platform size, say, like, we've 50,000 people that follow our YouTube page, and as soon as our stream starts on a Sunday or a Saturday, 50,000 people will be notified that it's live. And sure, if a small percentage of those tune in, like, that's already great figures there. But it's good. As I said, it's good for us too. Like, GAA fans, they'll be interested in handball to some extent. And like, the game's coming up at this weekend. There's huge names there. Like, we've Katrina Casey, kind of the best women's player for since I was playing handball anyway, the last 10 or 15 years. She's playing this weekend. We have Nash from Clare. Paul Brady's playing the Masters as well. Vinnie Moore in a Mayo. Like, these are all big names, and sure, they bring people into our platforms as well, and in onto our pages. So, sure, it's good for both sides. And even, the GAA is kind of, there's a big link there with Gaelic culture and even the Irish language. And even at the weekend there, you had John Bosco Hurley, and I wasn't sure who the other fellow was, doing a bit of commentary, true Irish, on our handball stream. So, like, the two work hand in hand together. And, like, sure, Gaelic culture, there's plenty of handballers that have a bit of Irish, and sure, it was kind of a natural fit, really, to join the two together in this partnership.
Yeah, I think Shane was John Welsh. He would have been a Gael Gore there from Dublin. So it was brilliant. I was actually watching the stream as well. It was great to hear it. And obviously then for the bigger games later in the day, it was Ollie Cassidy and Chris Gavigan came in. So, but it's absolutely fantastic to watch it. Like even to be able to follow the ball and all, Shane. The picture is so clear. It's great. And like you said, it's a huge year for GAA handball with the World Championships in August and the one wall in August and then the four wall in October. So it's massive, and like to have the support then of TG Cahir coming in behind it to drive it on that bit more as well is huge, and hopefully handball will take off. It has been in coming up. Like there's 35% entries have been up over the last year or so entry numbers are getting higher, the standard of games are getting higher, there's more entry in juvenile levels, and hopefully this will just add to it again, and maybe all courts around the country that are gone maybe shut down and there could be a gym or just used as a storage unit, they might be getting dusted down now, Shane, and hopefully more people and clubs back up and running.
That's exactly it, yeah, sure. And any bit of publicity is good publicity, really. Sure, even myself there, I was watching back some of the streams from the weekend, and I haven't played a game of handball in 2 years, and I was wondering who will I get out now Thursday night for a bit of ball. But it makes a lot of sense again, and like handball is going in the right direction again. 100-year anniversary, as you say, the figures are up, memberships up, and then with the new courts in Croke Park, like it's great that we can show off them new show courts. Mac AV are the crowd that do the streams for us, and like they bring a brilliant standard of visuals and commentary with the few men you mentioned there, and like it's a multi-camera thing. It's a serious event. I know when things are online or on social media, people kind of think it's willy-nilly stuff, but no, it's a really good production quality program we're putting out. Every weekend there's a big handball tournament on, and again, as you say, like the more people see that, it might lead to local clubs being rejuvenated. It could lead to Anton, we'll never know really, but sure, it's all good and it's all going the right direction.
Exactly, and like you said there, Shane, it has been a huge success. Croke Park has really added to, you know, just bringing handball back to life as well. You know, every young, as we say every week here, every young hurler, young camogie player wants to play in Croke Park, and it's the same for a handballer, and there was a generation of handballers that missed out, and now the centre's back open, and there's some brilliant pictures as well, like you said, from the coverage where it shows the four wall court in Croke Park, where it has three glass sidewalls, or two glass sidewalls and a glass back wall, and just the picture of that as well for our viewers at home is fantastic to see, and how difficult it might be to play in as well. So it is brilliant. And Shane, just for our listeners ourselves, you're a Kilkenny man, you're from Winegap, and steeped in the GAA history.
Yeah, sure. Winegap's a strong club, as always. I know we're only a junior club, but it's a first pride in the place out here, and that's in the Camogie football. We play a bit of football too, and the hurling and the handball, like that. All the clubs have been going a long time, and we're punching above our weights in some respects, but we're hoping to do well, better all the time as well. And we've a fine four-wall alley there, 40-20, and we did have the 60-30, but that's kind of gone by the wayside. And sure, we host the one-wall, the Kilkenny County Championships in the one-wall. We've been hosting them for a good few years as well in the outdoor court. So, yeah, sure, steeped in the GAA there, and found my way to TG Cahir now. So I as you said at the start, I'm involved in sport TG Cahir, so like if you're into the GAA, it's a grand job to have. I kind of got lucky to get this far, and before I leave you go, before you leave me go, just on the stream now this weekend, just to let you know, I might just go through who we have again. So starting at 12 on YouTube, sport TG Cahir YouTube, if you look into that. It's the men's senior doubles finals, the women's senior doubles finals. So that's Clare and Cork in the men's. Dermot Dash, Colin Crean, Michael Hedigan, Daniel Relihan from Cork. The women's senior doubles is Cork again, Katrina Casey, Ashley O'Keefe, Galway, Sienna Curran, Niamh Heffernan, Mastery doubles finals, and we've two minor doubles finals as well. So yeah, loads to look forward to, and the partnership is going strong, and looking forward to the rest.
Yeah, no, absolutely brilliant, Shane. And Kilkenny are involved in the minor doubles final, both girls and boys. So Kilkenny people, if they're not up there, they'll be playing a close eye to that, and hopefully there'll be some success as well from that. And we look forward to that. But Shane, I know you're busy, so we won't take too much more of your time. So thanks a million for joining us. It's brilliant to have you on, and thanks to yourself and TG Cahir for the support you're after giving GAA handball. And hopefully it's going to push it forward and is finally getting the recognition it deserves, thanks to TG Cahir. So, Shane, thanks a million for joining us. And we might link in with you later in the year again, just to see how everything went and what the plans are going forward as well.
Yeah, no matter, Ciarán. Thanks a lot for that.
Thanks, Shane. And that was Shane Welsh joining us there. And we have a couple of texts in here as well. 9-year-old Liam O'Neill sourced the handball in TG4. Now he's constantly viewing and converting others. Well done to Shane for the coverage. So brilliant to hear. And we have another text in here. Just all doesn't seem to be well in the Cork camp. Injuries and players leaving the panel. So
haven't heard that now.
It's to do with the new jersey myself.
Yeah, it's as far away from Cork jersey as
they're no longer the blood and bandages. Sure they're not.
Not really. Ciarán, talking about handball, those two look chaps from Pakistan, from Afghanistan the other day. It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, and you could see Paul Brady was actually the man playing with him there. So I think Paul is teaching up in that school as well. So it's not a surprise to see, you know, handball being to the core in that school. But we'll just run down through some of the handball results just before we finish. Busy weekend, as I went down through them with TJ and Pat there last night as well. But girls under 14 doubles, there was victory for Shauna Doherty and Sophie McCabe. Boys under 14 doubles, victory for Matty Carr and Darren McCormack. Defeating the under 15 doubles for Keane Murphy and Andrew Dillon. Victory for Conor Minogue and Timmy Carr and the boys under 16 doubles. Then in the girls under 15 doubles, there was victory for Kate O'Brien and Maya Egan. There was defeat for Shane Dial in the boys under 14 singles, defeat for Joe Dowland in the boys under 15 singles, victory for Andrew Brennan in the boys under 16 singles, and then there was boys to the finals in the under 17 doubles for Sean Morrissey and Dan McCormack, girls under 15 singles for Sean Hayes, girls under 17 doubles for Emily Tynan and Rachel Phelan. And there was also victory on Friday evening up in Galway for Niamh Drennan and Orla Duggan. They had to travel all the way to Micheál Bernox, and they won 21-6, 21-2 to book their place in the final. There was also then victories for Johnny Brennan and Joe Hennessy in the Ruby Masters doubles. Victory for Katie Brennan and Holly Byrne in the Lady Minor doubles. Victory for Jack Holden and Dylan Caulfield in the Junior doubles. Under 21 doubles, Sean Barron and John Doheny defeated Monaghan. Then in the Senior doubles, as Shane said and as we spoke about yesterday, there was an unfortunate defeat for Peter and Patrick Function. They lost out 11-7 in the tiebreaker after winning the first and then lost the second 21-19. So hard luck to the lads. It was an absolutely fantastic game to watch, and I'd say if anyone was watching it, it probably brought in numbers as well for the game. It was a fantastic game, but hard luck to Peter and Patrick. Then in the Silver Masters B doubles, there was victory for Brendan Hosey and Daniel Love from Clock. Then there was defeat in the ladies intermediate doubles for Marie Welsh and Margaret Purcell. They lost out 11-3 in the tiebreaker. And this weekend, all those finals will be played. We'll have the fixtures out. They haven't been released yet, but once they are, we'll send them on to our sports team here, and we'll be publicising those ahead of the weekend as well. And we wish all the best to the players, and hopefully there'll be Kilkenny success coming back next Monday night and all over our sports reports over the weekend. So best of luck to everyone. Right, unfortunately the clock has caught up with us again, but thanks to Nicky and Pat for joining me in the studio. Thanks to Eamon for joining us on the phone, and also Dan O'Neill from the Dixborough GAA Club, and then Shane Welsh, the marketing editor for TG Cahir. So it was great to have all the lads on board, and most of all thanks to you for listening at home, and of course our sponsors TC Tyres. Stay tuned after 7 for Country Time with Martin Morris, and until next Monday night, good night and God bless. We'll talk to you then.
TC Tyres, world of Gaelic Games.